Marvel Superhero Podcast,
Diablo Frank,
The Legal Machine,
Mr. Fix-It,
Movie Slate, Marvel, DC,
Justice League, Parts 1 and 2, Avengers Infinity War,
Parts 1 and 2. If we get to Justice League, we'll have this comparison.
I think I'm pretty confident we'll get to at least a Justice League movie.
Unless DC's movies come out blasting. Let's just say Superman Batman does fantastic.
Which it very well could.
We'll say $300 million. Wonder Woman comes out.
You mean domestic?
Yeah. No, world. Worldwide.
If it only makes $300 million, they will not make a single DC movie like ever again. It has to make at least $500 million. And it will be seen as a disappointment if it does not make $1 billion.
Really?
Spoilers?
Check.
Mature language?
Check.
Viewers beware?
Check.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived. The Avengers in America.
Fantastic Four.
Spider-Man.
Iron Man.
Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones in the Jessica Jones series, adapting Marvel's Alias from the Marvel Max line.
I'd like to start, if you don't mind. Uh-huh. I don't know what any of these fucking characters are.
Do you know who Kristen Ritter is?
Are you talking from
Netflix?
The Netflix series?
Yeah, the Netflix series.
So she's the chick from Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah, she's the chick
from Breaking Bad. That's all I know. Who is this Jessica what the fuck ever character? What is this?
Marvel put out a line called Max. And it was their mature readers line that would still be set.
Oh, you never read
Alias? He never wrote Alias.
Oh, wow.
So, no, I mean, he's been out of comics since Max, probably, I don't even know if Max existed when Mac stopped reading comic books.
The only Max I know is Pepsi, baby. I'm drinking a Pepsi Max.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's not a visual medium, so my joke didn't.
Okay. I need some Pepsi Max, actually, so I need to get a little frothy. Anyway, so the Max line, the main title in the Max line was Garth Ennis's Punisher, mm-hmm. where he switched from the more cartoony style of stories he was telling with Steve Dillon when he first relaunched the character in that year-long series. Then he started working with lesser-known artists doing darker, more adult stories about white slave trading and all kinds of fucked up shit like that.
Slavery was awesome.
Yeah, that was one of the darkest ones.
Punisher was actually cool for a while.
But the only other I think long running series that ran under the Max label was Alias, and it just so happened to come out not around the same time as the Alias TV show. Originally, at one point, ABC was going to do I think it was ABC was going to do an Alias TV show. Jessica Jones is a private detective who had been a superheroine who briefly worked with the Avengers under the name Jim, I think, or Jewel. Was she Jewel?
I think it was Jewel.
Okay, and she had purple hair and a white outfit, and she was just one of those people that came and went in the 90s. Retroactively, it was a retcon. She didn't actually exist. So anyway, as she washed out of the Avengers, she became a private investigator with some superpowers, mostly invulnerability, right?
Yeah, but why did she wash out was the cool part.
I don't remember why did she wash out.
The Purple Man.
Oh, yeah. You remember the Purple Man? Okay, apparently not.
Grimace from the McDonald's gang. Yeah, I know.
Right, I got a picture of you with Grimace.
Every year I get a picture.
He gave him the dap. The Purple Man was a daredevil villain, and what he could do is he would possess people's minds and could control them very much in the manner of Bill Cosby.
Oh, he went there with it.
Current event in it with Frank.
But he did, and it's some very foul things done.
He gets decidedly rapey with his powers, is what we're saying.
And I remember, Max is their adult line, so they can get away with a lot of shit in this one. They usually wouldn't.
Well, I mean, the most famous moment of any Alias comic book was in the first issue. She needs to feel something, and what she feels is Luke Cage's penis, it penetrate her anus, as she's scowling into the panel.
Yes, they talk about anal sex. And she...
Well, they allude to the anal sex. He's obviously penetrating her from behind. The assumption, based on her expression, is that it was anal. And the captions make you think that she's doing anal so that she can feel something. To distract herself from her emotional pain, I think it was.
All right, sir.
I'm about to go back. I actually own that. Was it one of those big trades? It's actually a very good book.
So Netflix is going to adapt that character into a television show. And since all those Netflix shows are interrelated, they're having to cast everybody now to appear in the next series. Luke Cage. I need to find out who's playing Luke Cage. Sorry, hold on a second.
He was really good in Warren Ellis' run on Thunderbolts, where he's actually their handler, and they get out of hand, and he just starts beating them. Like, he's pretty ruthless with them, so.
Yeah. Well, my understanding is that the Jessica Jones series is going to be the one that immediately follows Daredevil. They've wrapped.
So which series are there? There's Daredevil.
It's Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones.
Okay.
But my understanding based
on... So all Hell Kitchen, basically all the stories are in Hell Kitchen.
They're going to all, well, the fifth series is the Defenders. The other four heroes are going to form a super team. But the main ones are those four. And the Daredevil series is already filming. I'm not sure if Prince Photography is already wrapped on that one. I want to say that it has, or it's near to its conclusion. And because characters from the other show are going to appear in Daredevil, they're having to make sure to get these people cast. So Kristen Ritter, who I fell for on Gilmore Girls, I've liked her ever since then. I also liked her in Who's the Bee in Apartment 23. She's going to be playing Jessica Jones. I wasn't sure about that just because Jessica Jones, you loaned me your omnibus and I read the full series. I'd never pictured Jessica Jones as being especially pretty. I thought that she was supposed to be sort of the more homely, regular kind of gal. Kristen Ritter is gorgeous and really lean and like model pretty and stuff. So it's hard for me to deal with someone who's running around in a trench coat and being more of a regular plain Jane type. But in terms of attitude, I think she's definitely got that right, that acidic tongue that you expect to have from a character in a series like that. She can definitely play that harder edge character. And if she can play down her looks and be more street look level, I can see her playing that role. I honestly think that you're wasting Kristen Ritter on Jessica Jones because there are more mainstream characters that she could play with her attitude and with her looks that you would need somebody like Kristen Ritter. Jessica Jones could have been played by somebody who's less spectacular than Kristen Ritter is what I'm saying. She probably should be more of a relatable type character or actress, I should say. So any thoughts on that? Because you read the omnibus. How do you feel about her? You saw Breaking Bad season 2, and that's probably the majority of what you've seen her in, right?
Yeah.
I actually watched Vamps with Alicia Silverstone for her, mostly.
Damn, you got a lot of time on your hand. Are they going to reference S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movies, or is it like its own totally different universe?
I don't see any reason why they couldn't do that, but I think that they're focused on setting up their little Netflix universe and not so much worried about connecting to the ABC show or the movies.
I'm interested. I think it's going to be more film noir, but it's going to be more along the lines of that, right? More of like a cop show.
Well, she's still a superhero detective.
But
so
it's going to be more along the cop show. Because I actually saw the preview for The Powers, which looked interesting. Powers is going to be much more like a cop show. So what was Marvel going to do on their end?
Well, they could do the same type of thing. It's going to be a competition of quality. It's just like I've been criping about Benjamin Cumberbatch in Strange, and I keep referencing Sherlock, and at the same time, Sherlock's running on BBC. You've got Elementary with Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu running on CBS. So those aren't the same show. They have the same premise of modern day Sherlock Holmes, but one show is made for mainstream audiences on CBS. I don't know if you have sexual tension because I've never seen Elementary, but one assumes that the gender swap on the Watson character plays some part in that series. The point is you can do a similar premise completely different ways and have it work.
Is it going to be, I guess, like a cop show? I mean, are they going to be
more? It'll be more street level, presumably, because again, it's Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, so and Jessica Jones. And yeah. Well, you know the Kingpin's in it.
I was going to ask you, is the Kingpin? Are we going to have like the Owl, Kingpin, these type of crimes?
The only villain I'm aware of is the Kingpin, because Vincent D'Onofrio is the Kingpin.
Oh, nice.
So I'm not aware of any other characters, villain-wise, who are showing up on these shows yet. Good thing about being on Netflix is the only people that are handling this material are Netflix people and Marvel Studios people. So it's not like ABC where you have this enormous Disney bureaucracy where leaks can spring up anywhere. This is much smaller and much tighter. There hasn't been a bunch of stuff leaked about what these shows are going to be about.
Yeah.
And I do think the budgets are an issue. I don't think Netflix is wanting to spend $1 billion. I don't think you're going to see a lot of effects heavy villains. We'll have to wait and see what happens though.
So that's why I was asking, because like I said, I want to know, is it going to be them just chasing down drug dealers and serial killers? Then it's going to be season 1 and 2, or are they going
to
have...
Well, Iron Fist has to tackle something beyond that. That's you have saying. To get they into like Kunlun and
they
such.
They have to start dipping into the Marvel Universe. And they
well,
have
and that's what Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started doing toward the latter end. So.
You could do Kingpin, but even the Kingpin's going to get a little tiresome. You have to start looking at his lieutenants, the Owl, Hammerhead, these other villains, and do story arcs with them. I mean, if you're really going to grow it, Power Fist and Iron Man, I mean, Power Fist and...
Power Man and Iron Fist.
Power Man and Luke Cage. Those two, I think, are going to be really interesting. That'll be fun to watch.
You don't think a Daredevil TV series will work? I think a Daredevil series has the best chance of working, honestly. Because they always should have done Daredevil for TV. That he's a TV-type character.
I mean, who's going to be fighting Bullseye every week or then Electro?
No, I don't know that he's going to have any of those type of characters.
I guess I'm just... I need to sit down and really watch.
My expectation is the type of stuff you saw in the Brian Bendis series is what you're going to see on TV. So it's probably going to be a lot of Kingpin with maybe more street-level action-oriented characters like Echo or somebody popping up.
Yeah.
Not the Bullseyes, not the Eels, not the Owls, not these more grandiose type characters. Maybe once you get to something like Iron Fist, then you're going to do more chop socky Saturday morning martial arts type shit. Big Trouble in Little China I could picture as a reference point, for instance. But nobody knows anything because Iron Fist hasn't been cast yet. Nobody's been cast yet. I don't even know if they've written scripts for Iron Fist yet.
So which one is already finished filming?
I don't know. Daredevil is currently filming. It may have wrapped. I'm not sure. But that's the only one that's actually been in front of a camera yet.
Oh, okay.
Maybe but it looks like Jessica Jones is next, from what I understand.
Maybe they're doing like a Law and Order, where like the first half of the episode is him catching a criminal, and the second half is him being a lawyer and trying them.
Possible.
Chung Chung. We'll if not, they should do that.
Luke Cage has apparently been cast, and the actor is Mike Coulter, who's appeared in Stuff. And some of the stuff...
Oh, I love Stuff.
I've seen one of those Stuffs. He was in Men in Black 3 as Colonel, or the Colonel. And that's the only stuff of those Stuffs that he's done that I've seen. I don't know who the hell Mike Coulter is. He looks like the way that Luke Cage has been drawn in recent years. I'm not that into that, because the guy's pushing 40. And my mind is... Power Man should be a young character, because I figure he was a gangbanger in his teens. He got arrested probably late teens, early 20s. He busts out. So at the beginning of his career, he should be in his early 20s. Even if you go by him having been around for a number of years and you're picking up the Marvel Universe in progress, I would still say late 20s. One of the things I haven't liked about the changes made to the character under Bendis is that he's so much older now than I think that he should be.
I like it that he's older, though. I don't think he should be with swag and all that. Nah, he should be an older guy. He's seen some shit and he knows.
But that's just it. He's become the generic black guy. He runs around topless, and he is strong, and he punches people, and he leads teams sometimes when they don't have somebody else who's higher profile to lead them. He doesn't.
What other character does that?
He doesn't. No, but he doesn't do anything exceptionally. He's one of the first Marvel black superheroes.
Sweet Christmas.
Exactly, though. He should be the guy. I don't want to do what Brian Azzarello did, where they try to turn him into, you know, he's got a grill and he's got chains and all that kind of stupid
what?
Shit.
What?
Yeah, they went there. It was super.
I remember seeing. Yeah. It's
super duper racist series. I grew up with Power Man, so I don't want to see Luke Cage just.
So you want him to have a fro and the metal headband?
No, he doesn't have to have the metal headband. And the metal. But every cuffs. Black superhero has a bald head now. All the black heroes have bald heads now. Michael all the Jordan. Black heroes have goatees now. They all look fucking like identical in as drawn in comic books, because they're drawn. They don't look like real people. So unless you've got an artist that photo references like Brian Hitch, they all look like the same guy. And so they've got these low key costumes, and they've got a generic power set that usually involves some strength and invulnerability. It's just like on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they introduced the Mike Peterson character. And because of his power set, it's like, is he going to be Luke Cage? No, he's not Luke Cage. Luke Cage, as done these days, is exactly like every other B-list black character that they're so afraid of offending somebody with that they don't allow them to have any personality at all. They're blank slates to me. They all look alike. They all act alike. They got a little bit of attitude, but they don't talk no street. Can't have them talking because I made fun of the people who wrote street dialogue, especially in the 70s and 80s.
I think you need to read some of the newer Avengers stuff.
I read the Mighty Avengers.
He has a biracial baby. He runs the Avengers. They turn the Thunderbolts into an initiative program where you can almost.
Well, you're talking about.
Squad.
I could see him working in Thunderbolts. Him involved with Thunderbolts makes sense to me. The guy was an escaped convict, for fuck's sake. So yeah, let him work with a group that's Marvel's equivalent of Suicide Squad. It's when he's with the Avengers and he doesn't wear a costume. He just runs around with his shirt off, or he runs around with a fucking yellow T-shirt. He's a fucking superhero. Give him a goddamn costume. Everybody else gets a costume. You're so afraid of offending somebody, you can't give the guy a fucking costume.
So what would you give Power Man as a costume?
I don't know. I'm
a
not
white
an artist.
With a big P on it.
I like
give him a fucking costume.
I like Power Man. He wears the blue jeans with the yellow top and the fucking chains.
You,
right?
You know what I like?
The chain
I like
belt. Is it a chain belt or
he had a chain belt?
Wristlets
yeah.
Or chains.
Honestly, my favorite was Pasquale Ferry did him in the Heroes for Hire relaunch from the late 90s. Updated his 70s outfit. Blue tights, chain belt. Yellow shirt. I think he still did have the sideburns with a small fro and headband. So you could take some of those elements off or downplay them some. But let him look distinctive. He was created in a certain time. He comes from a certain place. You can under or overemphasize elements of that. But he's your blaxploitation superhero. Just don't make him a flat blaxploitation character. He doesn't have any color to him. No pun intended. He doesn't
Christ.
Have any... Hmm?
So if they do him in the show, they're not going to give him a costume in the show.
Wait. So isn't Luke Cage the original black guy superhero that's super strong?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, then fuck you. Let Luke Cage be Luke Cage. Make all the other dumbass characters change. You know what? Fuck you. Now
I'm not saying changing his power.
Yes, you are. You're trying to say change
I'm saying
Luke
let him
Cage's
have a costume
power.
And let him have a personality.
Well, why costume? I just don't get the costume part.
Because he had a costume when he first came out. He's got distinctive
colors.
Dude,
he wore a yellow shirt, jeans. The metal band, he cannot wear the metal band, dude.
No, he shouldn't have a tiara. Wonder Woman, he shouldn't have a tiara.
No. Thank you. Not a tiara. I like Luke Cage. I think if you're going to keep him your street level hero, he doesn't need a costume. Jessica, she doesn't have a costume either. She's going to be a detective. My understanding is Daredevil runs around in his black costume, which is basically stockings. That's the only picture I've seen of the Daredevil so far.
One other one I'm a little bit disappointed by, but also kind of jazzed by at the same time. Judy Greer is going to be playing Scott Lang's ex-wife in the Ant-Man movie. And I love Judy Greer. I'm a fan of hers. I have been for years. But she's just going to be Scott Lang's ex.
Ah, okay.
You don't know who Judy Greer is, do you?
No.
You don't know who Judy Greer is, do you?
I'm looking at pictures of her.
Naked.
Yeah, there are some out there. She got naked for adaptation. And
cross-referencing.
And a Jerry Shandling.
Turning off
Gary
Safe
Shandling,
Search.
And a Gary Shandling movie. So Senator Stern has seen Scott Lang's wife naked. okay, we might as well progress on to... And this was something that I thought was maybe too extreme, but at that Marvel presentation, they announced, before Avengers 2 comes out, Avengers 3 and 4. And I don't know, did you see that footage?
I saw the little preview where they've got...
It's basically just clips from the other movies,
from the other
voiceover,
films.
That it's actually from other movies as well, and then it just ends with the CGI Thanos holding the Infinity Gauntlet.
It's all the scenes that contain what people are saying are the Infinity Gems, like Loki's staff, you know, all the weird mist shit in Asgard.
The Dark World,
the ether or whatever, and all that stuff. That each of those things is actually an Infinity Gem. And so it's just the little clips from those movies that are making up. And then you have the rotating Thanos with the full gauntlet.
But what was interesting for me, because at first I thought, oh, is this some kind of silly fan film thing? Since it's nothing but clips anyway.
I thought the same thing too.
Then when you have Thanos and the crowd are like, whoa. And then it goes, Infinity War. And they go, whoa. And then it goes, part one. And they're like, oh, you know, the reaction, because you know that scale. We had Avengers, and Avengers, while it was an alien invasion, it was mostly about New York City, which made sense for a Marvel movie. I feel that Age of Ultron is going to be much more global. I think they're going to get Wakanda in there. They're going to get some other locations in there. It's going to be much bigger in as far as its impact. And then once you get to the Infinity War, you're getting cosmic. And that it has to go cosmic because you're going to have the Guardians of the Galaxy in there. You're going to have all these Doctor Strange in there. That means you've got mystical aspects. You've got space-time stuff getting involved with it. That's why you have to break that up into two movies. Because even though they're calling it the Avengers, and I'm sure the Avengers will play a major role in those movies, they're already expanding the Avengers roster in Age of Ultron. I expect that at least in those two movies, they're going to make sure that even if people aren't Avengers anymore, by the time you get to Infinity War, those characters will still appear. They just won't necessarily be Avengers. And you got guys like Doctor Strange that shouldn't ever be an Avenger and brings a whole other world with him. They're going from a single point to global to cosmic. You've got this expanding scale. So it makes sense you have to break that into two movies. With DC, they're already breaking the Justice League movie into two movies. There has never been a Justice League movie, and they're already breaking it into two movies. Technically, I would say three, because here we've got the prequel in Dawn of Justice, then Justice League Part 1, then Justice League Part 2. Who are they fighting? I don't know. Probably Darkseid. Who's Darkseid look like? Fucking Thanos, who's already in the fucking teaser for a movie that's going to be coming out in a number of years. But unfortunately, that's a teaser for movies that have already proven to be extraordinarily successful, where Darkseid is a guy who was in the Superpowers cartoon years ago, and he was in the Superman cartoon slightly less years ago.
Okay, so here's my...
So people are going to think Thanos is the real deal and Darkseid is the ripoff, is what
right.
I'm saying.
So here's my thinking on the JLA movies. I think the JLA movies are going to work. Because the Superman Batman is what's
a really bad idea to start things off.
It's really, really bad. That should be coming after, I almost feel like. Whereas,
no, that movie should have come out in around 2000 or so when... who's the guy who did... the one with Brad Pitt as Achilles? Wolfgang Peterson?
I don't know. Troy?
Yeah, Troy. Wolfgang Peterson was going to do Superman versus Batman years ago. As a matter of fact, I think that's what derailed Tim Burton's Man of Steel movie, or maybe it went the other way. But yeah, they were going to do that. That was going to be their way of rebooting both Superman and Batman after the failure of Batman and Robin. They were going to do the Tim Burton movie. My timelines are kind of fucked up. I can't remember which one came first. But regardless, Superman versus Batman, Batman versus Superman by Wolfgang Peterson was going to revive both of those properties. Because either Tim Burton already come and gone, or he hadn't come along yet. And that made sense for that time. That would have been a movie that could have been a big game changer at the time. To have a movie with both Superman and Batman in it, that was huge. That would have been a big deal. It's just not as big of a deal anymore, because we've already had a bunch of movies where you've taken properties that were solo franchises and then folded them into the team movie. So it's not as exciting anymore. And you really kind of have to start with Justice League. But if you're not going to start with Justice League, how about this? How about you just develop the relationship between Superman and Batman before you go into Justice League? Instead of contriving a conflict between them and playing that bullshit out.
I think that Justice League is where that should happen. I think that's why I think that it should be like Avengers. I hate to say that it's just like what Marvel's doing. Marvel's establishing the relationship between Captain America and Iron Man in Avengers and then doing the Versus movie.
It's just like what you discussed. They really established a relationship in the first Captain America movie through Howard Stark.
Right. And so then they've built it over a couple movies, and then you're going to have your Versus movie, where I think that's the way it should go. Because I think JLA works fine. I think that having Captain America be your Hawkeye, having Batman be your Hawkeye, Black Widow combo, you have your Earthling in with Wonder
amongst
Woman.
Amongst the gods.
Right.
Yeah.
That works so well, man. And then go fight Darkseid. I think all that would be fine. It'd be a perfectly
and
good movie.
And even though it's a trope that I'm sick of in the comic books, but yeah, Batman is the biggest name. So you have all these guys with all these powers, and Batman still manages to look great amongst them and manages to pull off shit that they can't pull off. I'm fine with
that's
that.
That's fine. That's fine.
Don't have him beat up Superman the
don't
movie
have him
before
fight each
then.
Other. Right. But having them fight each other is stupid. Mm-hmm. It's dumb. It doesn't work. I don't think it's going to work. And that's what I think it's a shame, because I think that's going to screw up a Justice League movie before it even comes out. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think a Justice League movie would be fantastic, man.
I've been wanting a Justice League movie for ages, but give me the one movie and let me decide who I want to see coming out of that movie. Give me the Aquaman movie. Give me the Wonder Woman movie and let me enjoy those characters and appreciate them for what they are in their own distinct universes, and then fold them into the movie like Marvel did. Don't do this shit where you're going to have... It's all just so fucking half-assed. Because we're not going to get a proper introduction to Wonder Woman in the Superman versus Batman movie. And I guess she's going to spin out of Justice League. And I don't know how that's supposed to fucking work. Because how do you have a movie broken up into two parts? And then I guess they're all going to be prequels. I just don't understand. I don't know how that's going to make that work and make it be exciting. Because if they're prequels, let's say the Wonder Woman movie is a prequel to Justice League. So that means whatever the fuck happens in the Wonder Woman movie, it's going to end wherever Dawn of Justice begins.
Yeah.
If it's a break point, then why do you have Justice League Part 1, Justice League Part 2? You know, just fucking have two separate movies or call it the sequel. You know, Justice League 2. Part 1, Part 2 tells me that it's one continuous story. That doesn't work because something's going to have to take a hit for that to function.
Yeah. It's bad, man. It's bad.
Yeah.
I feel bad because, you know, I'm not a DC guy, but it all helps comic books.
Yeah. Well, not just that. I am a DC guy, and my problem is they're taking the worst interpretations of the characters and throwing them up on the screen. I see Marvel doing the stuff that I wanted DC to do. As much as I would love the characters that I have an investment in after all these years, do the stuff that the Marvel heroes are doing. If they're not going to do that, I'm going to just enjoy the fucking Marvel heroes. Because it's not just about the individual characters. It's also how they related to each other, how they relate to history, how they relate to society. Marvel's giving me that. If DC can't give me that, then I just don't need to watch their fucking movies.
I mean, if you picture the big fight scene where the big interdimensional fucking crazy ass monsters are destroying New York in Avengers number one, and instead of Thor and Hulk and Iron Man flying around blasting those things, you've got Superman and Martian Manhunter and fucking Batman and Wonder Woman lassoing them. The same awesome, if not more so, watching all those characters kicking ass, helping each other, working as a team at one time, defeating this gigantic baddie on the screen, and there's just fucking CG explosions everywhere. It's just as awesome, and I'm not sure we're ever going to get it, and that's what sucks.
And part of the problem, too, is the Chitauri, you swap out for Parademons, or the Parademons swap out the Chitauri. Well, I've already seen that movie.
Yeah.
Thanos has been popping up in these Marvel movies for a while, so then he shows up and he's called Darkseid. I've still been seeing Thanos. As much as Darkseid is a cool character and he's got the Omega effect and everything else too, Darkseid ain't got no Infinity Gauntlet though, does he? So not only are you getting Thanos already established, but you've already one-upped the version of Thanos that I wanted to see by going straight to the Infinity Gauntlet or working your way toward that. Or you've already got him running around in the Guardians movie, so we're getting a whole different... The Guardians have proven themselves. People like the fucking Guardians.
And Thor's already done boom tubes. It's like, oh,
oh yeah, you're right. He has, hasn't he? Fuck, man. It's just so much been there, done that. Marvel is Nirvana and DC is Bush.
Oh my God, that was cold-blooded.
Every Batman movie since Dark Knight Rises has made $1 billion+. The Superman movie made, I think, $750 million and was seen as a disappointment or underperformer. Not disappointment, but underperforming.
Okay, so we already have a track record. So let's say it does better than Superman, less than Batman. Yeah. Right there. Okay.
Which I think is a possibility.
Okay. So that means your next few movies, which is Wonder Woman, Flash, Cyborg, fuck it, we'll throw in a Martian Manhunter TV movie just for the fun of it. Those movies would have to make stellar money for them to justify making a Justice League movie. I don't see that happening.
No, you can make a Justice League movie hoping to make Avengers money by throwing those characters together again and calling it Justice League.
I don't see that happening.
And also, what is the deal too? They're trying to, my understanding is they're going to try to have Brainiac in the first one and Darkseid in the second one.
I think they're just talking out their ass right now. I don't think they have any solid footing on any of this. This is just like, if anything, test out the fandom. Are fans really that hype? Do the fans really give a shit? Infinity Gauntlet? Marvel has thrown down the gauntlet. When you have that footage of Thanos with the Infinity Gem or the Infinity Gauntlet smiling at you, Marvel's like, oh, we're making these movies. Fuck, they're probably already made. You don't even know it. But these movies are being made. We're going to put them out there. DC's like, we're going to do this. Because I heard the guy from the Arrow was disappointed with DC's announcement of the Flash movies and stuff, where they were just kind of a tailor in, like, oh, well, yeah, we got a guy doing the Flash series, but we're going to do a movie with a different Flash.
There, I think there's some heart feelings at the very
that
least.
That, to me,
there.
Tells me DC is too many cooks, or what do you call it?
The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Basically. Yep. They don't know what they're doing. They're just throwing stuff. So when they say, oh, we're going to do a JLA movie, honestly, like I said, unless they're all making over $1 billion, I don't see Warner Brothers and all them backing that play.
Why would you waste one of the only good Superman villains on a Justice League movie when Superman's going to need that guy if he's going to ever have his own movies? Aren't there enough DC villains and Justice League villains to choose them instead? And if you already know that you have got Thanos imminent, who's already been debuted in movies, why don't you just fucking use Despro or something? Why do you have to fucking use Darkseid all the goddamn time?
I'm telling you, DC is playing catch up. It's that kid running after you as fast as he can, and he's not thinking about what he's doing. He's just trying to catch up. It almost feels like there's no real thought put into it. They're just kind of like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Where Marvel was smart, where they're like, we do this. Oh, okay, we've got that fan base. We got everybody rabid. Okay, now we're going to do this. And they throw up this big thing, and then it gets everybody riled up and excited.
DC wants to replicate the success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe without understanding why it worked.
Yeah.
And I admire that they're at least trying to do different things artistically so that.
That was all in Spanish. That episode wasn't Spanish.
If you'd like to listen to this in English, please press the SAP button on your remote.
I respect that DC is trying to have the movies be more individualistic and have more of their own flavor, but there doesn't seem to be an overarching game plan the way that Marvel has. So you really are taking the movies on a instance-by-instance basis. And when you have this cross purposes, like here's a TV Flash and then here's a movie Flash, and you don't think that one is going to dilute the appeal of the other, I don't think that there's enough thought being placed into those movies.
Yeah, I mean that's where Marvel was smart, where they connected a movie to a TV show. Now I'm going to watch the stupid TV show just because of the movie.
Like Phil Coulson from the Iron Man movies, who are watching a fucking TV show every week.
Yeah.
Because of Phil Coulson, this minor supporting character.
I think DC would have been smarter if they had taken their TV universe and expanded it on the screen, but on a grander scope. Arrow and
people really seem to like Arrow and Flash, but the cinematic end of Warner Brothers disowns that stuff.
Batman and Superman are on the screen, and then this is our other teams, and they have their own universe. They're in the same universe. They're on their own shows, and we're bringing them in. If you want to watch the origins, watch Arrow.
It's never worked ever. When has a TV show ever made a popular movie?
Star Trek.
Other than like Jackass. Okay, Jackass is Star Trek. There's not like this huge. It doesn't always happen. But
Superman got a start in television. Batman got a start in television. So I think what you're saying, and I agree, is take the guys who aren't cinema ready and give them TV shows and let them get built up in fans' minds through that, and leave the movie guys to the movies. Let Superman be in the movies.
And then when you do your Justice League,
those guys are too big for television, they need to be in film.
And then when you get to do the Justice League movie, you can be like, well, there's Green Arrow, he's on the screen. Well, what about Green Arrow? Well, he has a TV show called Arrow. Really? Let me see Arrow then. And then they end up watching your show. They get to where, so when you're watching Arrow on the screen, you can watch his origin stories. You don't have to watch a fucking movie about it, an hour and a half movie. You can watch a really good TV show about it and still enjoy the movie.
And they can coexist with the kind of overlapping that we've seen with Marvel's Agents.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
A lot of people thought they were going to do. That's a smart move.
I really thought that's what DC was doing. I was thinking when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out, I was like, okay, that's kind of a cool idea. And they were talking about the Justice League movie, and I'm thinking, well, they got Arrow. That's why they're coming out with Flash. Oh, I get it. They're going to make these cool TV shows, and then they're going to jump in the movie, and then they can go back to the TV shows. And they go back and forth, these characters. That's kind of a cool idea. And then they were like, no, they're totally disconnected. I'm like, that makes no sense. Like, why would you alienate a fan base already? You have all these girls screaming over Arrow. Let them show up in your movie for about 35 minutes. They're going to go see the fucking movie because he's in that movie. Like, it just
the ladies do like Arrow.
Yeah.
That's one of the big audiences.
I mean, it's
not fantastic,
but it's a good show. They made Arrow a lot cooler than I thought he could be.
Yeah. Well, because they returned him to his roots as a Batman ripoff.
Well, that dude, he's killing people with arrows, dude. I mean, that's...
pretty cool.
Right? Well, that's normally what happens. You shoot people with arrows.
No, it's the, not the a cartoon. Dude, it's not a stun always, gun. He was always nailing them in the arm. I'm just or saying. Up against the wall. I'm just this saying. One, he's like straight just jacking dudes in the back of their skulls with arrows. I'm like, yeah, that's kind
of
cool.
He's jacking dudes in the back of their skulls.
So I have a theory. You're talking about what does Marvel do as this universe gets older?
Yeah.
2008, Iron Man came out, starring Robert Downey Jr., who was already old when that movie came out, and he's going to be 10 years older. He's going to be over 50 by the time they reach Infinity War. I think that Avengers Age of Ultron is going to neutralize the Hulk in some fashion. I think the Civil War is going to neutralize Iron Man and or Captain America. And what's the other one?
Guardians 2.
No, there's...
Infinity War 1.
Oh, and Ragnarok is going to neutralize Thor. I think by the time you get to Infinity War, you're no either going to have no standing Avengers, or the Avengers is going to be like Cap's kooky quartet sans Cap, where it's like Hawkeye, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, those kind of characters. And I think that what happens is you end up rebuilding the Avengers over the course of those two movies with the next generation of Avengers, or possibly you use the Infinity Gems to recreate Cap, Thor, Iron Man recast, because you're warping space, time, and reality, so you can take advantage of that if you've already taken out these characters.
You're saying this is what DC hopes they do.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm saying it's a theory. I'm putting that out there.
DC's back there planning. Hey, excellent.
God, yes, please just make it so that it's Cap.
They didn't make a mistake like we've been doing since day one. They finally have reached our pinnacleness.
Well, I'm wondering if we're not going to get like a next generation Avengers. If we're not going to get...
I think after... The reason I asked that question is I don't think any of that's going to happen. I think Cap's going to be throwing his shield at Thanos, which will be kind of weird, but I'm sure they'll pull it off. My question is, after the Infinity Gauntlet, what do you do? What's left? You can do another Black Panther movie. You can do a Hulk movie if you want.
You got the entire Marvel Universe. I think you're soft selling the Marvel Universe.
No, I'm not soft selling. They're going to do secondary characters. I don't think they're going to recast Cap. Not anytime soon. Chris Evans is going to be Hulk for... I mean, not Hulk. He's going to be Cap for a while. But I think what it is going to be is they're going to do all the other secondary characters. Like Doctor Strange. All those movies, I think they're just trying to produce franchises out of them. Iron Man, they're probably going to let those franchises rest for a while before they reboot them. But see, then the thing is, if they reboot them, do you really want them to be part of this universe? Like, you've done this universe perfectly. Do you want to introduce your ultimate Iron Man recast.
You use the opportunity of having gotten Hulk, Cap, Iron Man, Thor off the board. You bring them back in Infinity War Part 2, recast. And you use the reality warping of the Infinity Gauntlet to explain that there's a different actor playing this character.
No. I think that's
a cop.
That's just creating a movie to change actors. Yeah. That's fucking bold as shit. If you think that they're literally designing plot points around just trying to get rid of some actors, I don't think they're doing that.
No.
But we do think that after Civil War and after Ragnarok, there's probably going to be something massive changes with those characters, don't we?
I don't really care. But I don't think that they're going to... I think you're right. They're not going to reboot. They're going to recast. And they're going to have to recast eventually. It's just going to have to happen. You can't have Robert Downey Jr. at 60 being
Tony Stark. But I think if they recast it, it's not going to be part of this universe.
No, I think that they will. I think they'll just recast. Yeah, just like they just recast Hulk. Just recast.
Or James Bond is the example.
It's going to be... They're just going to James Bond him. They're just going to recast him. And they're going to probably just like let Robert Downey Jr. burn his own bridge. So people are kind of be like, okay, well, we had to. They're not going to fire Robert Downey Jr. and turn everybody against Marvel. Yeah. They're going to just let Robert just go, okay, nah, you know what? I'm done. Time for somebody else to take over. And they're going to let somebody else take over. And they're not going
to
tell...
It would be really hard to see someone else play Iron Man for me. Because he plays it.
That's part of the reason why they need to get rid of him.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, and that's, again, I think that's why you have an Ant-Man movie. It's because they want Paul Rudd to
see. I don't
want to
see an Iron Man movie every few years with a different actor. That's the one thing I really don't like that much about the Bond.
You have to. It's not animated. You can't keep drawing the same guy over and over again. I mean, these movies take 3 years to make one, and if you want to make more than three, then that's a decade, right? I mean, it's past. Actors want to go do other shit, so either actors are going to leave, or they're going to get too big for their britches, and they're making too much money, and you got to get rid of them.
We'll see. I'm just curious what the future will look like after 2020.
I think we talked about this in the Guardians one. Wasn't the Guardians or that's we true. Talked about that? One of these pod. One
I'm
of these.
Be, I'm gonna have to.
One of these fucking podcasts. We talked about this in one of these. Fuck. No, one of those is already out. Where Cap's easy to recast. Don't give a shit about fucking what's his fuck. I think Chris recast
Evans.
That dude.
Well, no, I think Chris Evans did a great job.
He did a great job. Nobody gives a fuck about that guy, and they could recast him in a second, and nobody would really care. Robert Downey Jr. is the only problem. Robert Downey Jr. is the only problem.
It's one of those where Robert Downey Jr. is such a major draw in terms of his personality, where you can get another guy who does the stuff that Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth does.
You can get another big ass
You're gonna get the problem they had with
smoking hot guy like Chris Hemsworth, and just recast Jane Foster too. You could just do that. You could do that in a second, and nobody would freaking bat an eye.
Dude, they're gonna make the same mistake.
Those dudes are dime a dozen.
With Superman Returns, where you have the actor acting like the actor. They said that was the biggest problem. What was his name from Superman Returns? The actor, Chris Roth?
Brandon Routh.
That his biggest problem was that he was trying to channel Christopher Reeves.
That's why I'm looking forward to him playing the Atom on the Arrow show. Yeah, but because I want to see him actually have an opportunity to play a part for himself.
But see, that's where I'm seeing where people are going to be like, well, this actor's just acting like Robert Downey Jr. being Tony Stark. You've created this character. If they do the recast, he's going to have to do it differently. It's just going to be really weird.
Oh, but again, that's why I think you were getting your Ant-Man movie and your Doctor Strange movies. I think those are instances where they're going to try to replicate what they did. Yeah, well, not just that, but I think they're going to try to replicate what they had with Downey Jr. and Iron Man, where you have an actor who is tied into that role and has that certain vibe, that swagger, that personality. I think they're going to try to replicate. I think they want to try to find another Robert Downey Jr. So they've got more than one.
Okay, let's do the Howard stuff.
Howard the Duck.
Rhyme the disease, meet the cure.
Okay, not the cure, but more like a topical ointment that reduces swelling and itch.
Hi, Tom.
Just call me angel.
Oh, fuck me.
Well, it's funny to me that so many people would call Howard the Duck not only the worst Marvel movie, but one of the worst movies, period. Where Wolverine Origins is seriously like one of the worst things comic related to ever be shat out of the Hollywood system.
But it's all
for its budget. I mean, obviously something like Steel is much worse because they spent like bus fare on making that movie. But Wolverine actually got a budget. Oh my God, that was a terrible movie.
Well, it's weird because
It's not even a story. It's just a bunch of stuff that happens and a bunch of character introductions, and then they wrap it up with that stupid Deadpool.
And see, I feel bad. That's what I say. I feel bad for Ryan Reynolds because I know he's doing a Deadpool movie now.
No, but it doesn't matter because that got wiped away by Days of Future Past.
Yeah, but what my point is, every comic movie he's done has been bad. The Wolverine was bad.
Green Lantern
was bad. He did another one.
He done a lot of superhero stuff. Did you ever see Paper
Blade
Man?
3. Blade 3.
Yeah. Did you ever see Paper Man? The one where he was playing a superhero that not pre-existing in the indie movie?
No.
I think, what's his face? Ryan Kwanten, the fellow from True Blood, wasn't he in that as well?
Dude, you're asking me about a movie. Okay.
Never mind.
What about the movie? Paperman.
Oh, no, I'm just pointing out another Ryan Reynolds movie. I didn't know if that was any good or not, but it's another superhero movie.
The funny thing is, he was funny. He's funny in the Wolverine movie. He was only funny as Deadpool when he was being an asshole. But once you got to the ending, it was really stupid where like they mutated him and stuff.
You saw that proof of concept video for Deadpool, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like an animated cutscene sort of thing.
What'd you think?
It was okay. I don't like Deadpool. I hate that character. It's just so stupid because for starters, his name is Deadpool. And his secret identity is Wade Wilson. His being absolutely completely derivative is right there on his sleeve. And the thing that made him popular is that Joe Kelly wrote him as Ambush Bug with a violent streak. So I just can't appreciate that character because all I see is all the shit that he ripped off to come into existence. He looks like Spider-Man. He mostly acts like Spider-Man. But he stole some stuff from Deathstroke and he's got Ambush Bug's personality. I don't see where that's a character. That's just a whole bunch of traits taken from other characters.
Did you just bitch about that, about Marvel and DC doing that to each other?
Yeah, I know. He's like the personification of that aspect of the Marvel universe and the DC universe that I can't stand. Where they just appropriate each other into irrelevance because they're all the same fucking thing at the end. Okay, we got a WordPress like from MacTwisp. New Twitter follows from #Marvelous at DJ Dub Floyd, the anti-fascist. Comics Therapy, Fantastiverse, Feed It Comics, and J. David Weider, who I believe he had a Daredevil podcast for a while there. Twitter favorites came from The Anti-Fascist, Charlton Hero, Chris William, Count Druncula, David Golding Artist, Eel Perrin, Eternal Rage, Firestorm Fan, Future Primitive, The Irredeemable Shag, Martin Gray, New Year Cap'n, Professor Riptide, Storybreakers, Sin, The Top 5 Road Crew, and WordPress News at WordPress Reddit. Retweets came from Ange, The Anti-Fascist, Between the Pages, Bronze Age Babies, Count Druncula, Eternal Rage, Future Primitive, Knowing Flame Comics, Martin Gray, Mike Watson, New Year Cap'n, Professor Riptide, Readers Group at Stratham Comics, Sin, and The Top 5 Road Crew. Jason Martinez let us know that he's listening to the Marvel DC Slate 2020 V versus V.
Our first comment is from Darcy. This is on our WordPress blog. All right, this is on episode 12, Beware, the Claws of the Cat.
This was actually a follow-up comment where she's commenting on something Count Druncula was saying.
Going back to Count Druncula's question, Donald Bane's plan was to create super Amazon women whose staff his Gold Gin franchise? Was his only real crime the negative death of Shirley? I think Donald Bane's original plan was to use his health clubs to put nullifiers on all the members. As Frank, I believe, correctly pointed out, Zabo wore one. Mal's plan really came together when he learned about Dr. Tomolo's project, which would make his clubs more commercially viable. Any of you guys belong to a gym? Would you be more likely to if Super Shirley was your trainer? Let's see. What were Donald Bane's other crimes? Lying to Shirley, violating a contract, illegal restraint, mind control, violating contract with Dr. Tomolo. Instead of using mutually agreeable subject. Human experimentation violating the Nuremberg Code. Unless Dr. Tumulo took care of the documentation of the subject's agreements, assault and battery, attempted murder, probably first degree of Dr. Tumulo, dynamite and Greer pistol, anything else? Thanks. So, yeah, Mal Donalbane was a bad dude. I think the question shouldn't have been more what were his crimes, really. It was how shitty his master plan was, really.
It was pretty weak sauce.
Because it was pretty stupid. Darcy had another comment on our reintroducing Patsy Walker, 7 years of Marvel's number one Hellcat heroine. Okay, first I'll get to what some regard as my pedantry out of the way. The outfit that Patsy, Cap, Iron Man found at the Brand facility on Long Island was not the Cat's. The Cat uniform that Mal Donalbane had made had a Cat's Claw emblem on the chest, while this one did not. There's also the matter of Hellcat believing that the suit empowered her, which, as you correctly mentioned, was not the source of Greer and Shirley's powers. A few years ago, if I remember correctly, on a CBR forum, someone wrote that there was a black and white pin of the Hellcat that described electronic circuitry in her costume that provided her powers. That pin was supposed to be in a Hulk comic, but I've never found it. My in-universe explanation for this is that Bran heard about the Cat secondhand the same way that Iron Man did. The rumor in financial circles was, quote-unquote, this outfit was Bran's attempt to come up with their own version. Ghost Rider number 27, the Manticore says his outfit was designed by the same scientist who created the Hellcat costume for Brand Industries. Steve Englehart said that he disliked the Cat's character and felt it was pandering. Disliked the Cat character and felt it was pandering. I'll assume he meant pandering to feminists, which you should assume 100% because that is exactly what it was doing. He had his hands on two deconstructions of the Cat. One, he chose the ill-regarded Golden Age / Silver Age character Patsy Walker to take the costume. Instead of the intense, widowed brunette inhabiting the suit, he had flightly Joe-making redhead. What? Let me reread that sentence over again.
Please.
Why can't I pull this shit closer to me so I can fucking read it? There we go. Okay. Stephen Hart has said that he disliked the Cat character and felt it was pandering. I'll assume he meant pandering to feminists, which she's right. He was pandering to feminists. He had his hands in two deconstructions of the Cat. One, he chose the ill-regarded Golden Age / Silver Age character Patsy Walker to take over the costume. Instead of the intense, widowed brunette inhabiting the suit, he had the flightly joke-making redhead. Two, when he got the chance to write the Tiger character, he started having her chase mice, take naps in the sun, and have sex with almost every man she met. When the shortened fill-in story in the Cat number 4 ended, the come-on box listed next, the Cat meets... ... No one would have predicted she'd become a nymphomatic.
Nymphomaniac. Nymphomatic sounds like a system by which you would use to like move those little bank cases back and forth.
Hey, are you a... Do you have a problem with your nymphos? Try the nymphomatic. Find it with our other products, like the Levelator.
Nice end joke.
Yeah. No one would even have predicted that for Tigra. In the Defenders issue where they learned that Dorothy Walker's deal with the devil wasn't for Patsy's soul, for success in the comic industry, intriguing as that sounds, the deal was supposedly to be remission of the cancer that was killing her. We kind of joked that it was she made the deal for the devil for comic success.
Right.
To save Marvel, but... that was sort of how it worked out in real life.
Well, we still haven't had a chance to read those comics. I'm hoping, as we record this, I've got a box O comics at my house. I'm hoping that my new copy of Essential Defenders, that would cover some of those issues, will be waiting for me, and then we can actually read them and cover them. We've kind of been stalled out on our Patsy Walker coverage because I don't have no books.
Ain't got no books, because Marvel Unlimited ain't got no books.
No kidding. The equivalent of 4 issues of Defenders featuring Hellcat in a significant role. So
she ends her comment with, "You'll be glad to know that Patsy wrote another tell-all book, Gidget Goes to Hell. Hope that helps." Darcy had another comment on, which Darcy, we got to find out if Darcy's on Twitter or... Her next comment was on our Marvel Studios versus Warner Brothers Part 1. Every time you mention Captain Marvel this or Captain Marvel that, same phrase echoes in my mind. That ain't Captain Marvel. In the context of this podcast, I kept thinking DC should have the balls to announce a Captain Marvel film. They own the rights. They bought them from Fawcett. Just because they were sleeping while Marvel made an end run around them doesn't mean they have to roll over and play dead. DC's lawyers harassed Fawcett for something like 15 years before Fawcett gave up. They've been playing Who Owns Batman 66 with Fox for almost 50 years. Why give up this one? By the way, I'm perfectly happy for Marvel to come out with a Miss Marvel movie. Thanks.
Well, the thing is, it's Marvel's game to play. DC rolled over. Why they did that? My feeling is that DC has never been very good about cultivating anything that didn't come out of national periodical publications. They are like a storing house. They buy up properties to make sure that other people can't use them. So once they own the rights to Captain Marvel, they proceeded to turn him into a second-rate Superman that gets slapped around by Superman, or Martian Manhunter, as the case may be. And also, there's some issues with the copyrights on the earliest Captain Marvel stories. Some of that stuff fell into the public domain because it wasn't copyrighted correctly, or the copyright wasn't maintained correctly. So that could be an issue as well that would be prohibitive. But that property has so many damn problems. You can't use Captain Marvel. You can't use Shazam. It's coming from the company that creates Superman, so he's always going to be the other guy that they've got. Honestly, I think if virtually anybody could do a better job with that concept than DC Comics, and most of them have. I mean, I think the Marvel's 60s and 70s Captain Marvel is a lot more interesting than most anything they've done with the Shazam character since DC's owned them. And even Ultraverse, which is now owned by Marvel, not that they'll do anything with it. Prime was a pretty solid updating of the Captain Marvel premise. So, you know, Marvel Man, which is now owned by Marvel, was a great continuation and then maturation of the Captain Marvel premise. Everybody can do it but DC. What the fuck's their problem? Your guess is as good as mine.
Our next comment comes from Firestorm Fan on episode 22, Marvel DC Slate 2020, Doctor Strange vs. The Flash. I think Benedict Cumberbatch, is that what we're saying now? Is it Cumberbatch?
I believe it's Cumberbatch.
I think the Benedict, now I can't say his first name.
Okay,
I think
the man can't say penguins.
Yeah, it's probably more well-known in the U.S. than you guys suspect, especially after Star Trek. I disagree. Everyone seems to know him. He's America's favorite British guy right now. I hope he'll play Doctor Strange with an American accent. If you want to love Benedict, listen to him in the radio sitcom Cabin Pressure. Wonderfully hilarious sitcom, and it gives you an idea of Benedict's range. Plays a completely different character than you're used to. I don't think the Flash TV show, which is great, by the way, is saving the Flash rogues for that movie. I think they're slowly dishing them out to stretch out 7 seasons. That's why they're burning through Firestorm villains. They don't use it all Flash rogues gallery in season 1. They gotta have some new big bads for season 2, 3, etc. Also, if the Flash continues to be successful right now, it's doing really well in the ratings, I think DC will rethink their Flash movie strategy. So as far as Benedict Cumberbatch goes, I don't think that I still don't think he's popular with
Shag is people. A fan of Doctor Who. Shag is familiar with BBC product. I don't think average Joe on the street knows who the fuck that guy is. Yeah, just Mr. Fixit, who's reasonably well-versed in geek. He didn't know who the hell the guy was when we were talking about him. He'd seen Star Trek Into Darkness, one of his biggest showcases to American audiences. He's like, oh yeah, that guy. And then continued to confuse him with other people from that point onward. So he's not a name brand. He's not somebody who's recognizable to most people. I don't think he's going to be a draw for anybody but the geek elite that's on the internet that's already deeply in love with him and would probably love to see Tom Hiddleston in his own Loki spinoff, which I don't think would play either. Too much of a good thing, maybe.
Yes, I agree with all that. And yeah, that probably would be too much of a big thing, but I will say everybody freaking loves Loki.
I'd much rather watch a Loki movie than another damn Thor movie, unless they're going to kill him off in that next one, which would be great. No thing against Chris Hemsworth. They just haven't given him anything to do since the first movie. That entire second movie, he's just Johnny Remorseful, got nothing better going on.
Yeah, it's a shame, because damn, he fucking looks like Thor.
Yeah, well that, and then the first movie, when he's being all big and obnoxious, that set him apart from the other Marvel heroes. Once he gets all uptight and more aware of himself,
or whatever,
yeah, then he's like too much the other Marvel heroes.
All right, our next comment's from the Irredeemable Shag. Frank seems to take his meds before your podcast. Why can't he take them before he leaves comments on our show? I just lost 5 hours of my life talking with Diablo Frank. I apologize in advance to the listeners of hashtag FW Podcast and at Rolled Spine.
So look for a Diablo Frank guest appearance on the Fire and Water podcast at some point in the not too clear future. Not unsurprisingly, we'll totally derail the subject matter that you would expect from the Fire and Water podcast.
Hey, Frank, stop being a dick. I know that, Frank. Look, Frank and I have known each other for a long time. We've established this. And I've seen Frank, he and I used to roll up on the DC message boards together. I've seen Frank literally, it's like whenever he starts pecking away at the keyboard, because he doesn't type like a normal human being does. He sort of hammers at the keyboard with his pointer fingers.
I'm like one of those Drinky Crow novelty deals, but at super speed. Like like taking a 33 and a third Drinky Crow and turning it into a 78.
Who was the little Peanuts gang guy that played the piano?
Oh, fuck, I forgot.
Was that Linus? Or was
no, that,
that
wasn't Linus. That was that blanket guy with the piano and the... Lucy liked him. I can't remember his name. Theodore? No. That was a chipmunk. We know who we're talking about, even if you don't.
He's basically like that guy. And like instead of a little grand piano, it's a computer.
I think he used two fingers, though.
Oh, you do just use one finger sometimes, right?
For the most part, yeah. I shift.
Yeah, you shift. You have to use two hands to shift. Yeah, it's a thing of beauty, and then you just have this huge vomit of text with no goddamn paragraphs broken out or anything, and then he'll kind of break it up a little bit so that you don't pass out from it. I know the whole deal. It sucks, but I'd rather he do it to you and not to us. So in your face. Thanks for being an outlet.
I think of all the terrible things Shaq's ever been called in his life, outlet's got to be up there, and it's certainly imaginative. You're such an outlet, dude. Firestorm Fan at Firestorm Fan wrote of episode 24, Marvel DC Movie Slate Part 4, "Hey guys, enjoy the latest episode, primarily because I like hearing my name said on other podcasts. I'm surprised to say that you actually made a reasonable argument against an Aquaman movie. I don't necessarily agree with you, but you were at least sensible. Someone put Throne of Atlantis in Mac's hands. Isn't he the guy who ranted against Aquaman?" Yes, I don't understand. I think we have pretty distinct voices, and yet for some reason, you and Mr. Fix-It have just become this weird gestalt being. And people are like, I don't know which one of you guys is which. And it's like, you guys don't sound anything alike.
I think it's we're just not you, and they're familiar with you, so that we're just not you.
Yeah, well, you guys have at least reasonably good voices, where I have a terrible radio voice, so that's probably part of it.
Continue with the comment, let it go.
Let it go. No, well, I understand when the English guys screw it up, but I would think our Americans would be able to tell us apart. Anyway, by the way, I don't think you would like Throne of Atlantis. You might like the artwork. I don't think the story would do anything for you. Wouldn't win you. Whether Frank likes it or not, it's a good read. That's what Shag says. I thought it was deeply mediocre with pretty artwork. Anyhow, he said, "Excalibur is the perfect example of how not to bake a cake. You throw in fantastic ingredients, Captain Britain, Shadow Cat, Nightcrawler, Chris Claremont in the 1980s, Alan Davis art, England, X-Men lore, etc., and somehow screw up setting the temperature on the oven. That comic has everything going for it, but still doesn't come together. It was undercooked, tasted bland, and was unsatisfying. Can't wait for your Marvel UK coverage," he said while sneering. "The pent-up demand for a Mystech and Warheads podcast is nearly palpable. Oh, wait. Couldn't care less. Those were canceled for good reason. Hashtag bring on Alpha Flight. Good points about the editing. Definitely keep up the fast pace. Just don't make dialogue sound choppy like this." And then he posted a Star Trek The Next Generation holiday video where he forces the Next Generation cast to sing Let It Snow. So it'll be up on the blog. "Thanks for reading my letters on the show. You should do more things like that. Signed, the Irredeemable Shag. Fire and Water Podcast says... Marvel Superheroes Podcast. I am your father."
So I don't think I made any different points on Aquaman in that podcast.
Points as opposed to fuck the water, fuck all things aquatic, fuck that the fishies, fuck the crabs, fuck the seals.
That is, those are points. I still made those. I still made those same points. I
think when your action movie lacks for seals, you're probably already ahead of the game. Just no seals, no whales.
What are the chances there are going to be seals in an Aquaman movie?
There's a really good chance.
There's a really fucking good chance there's going to be seals in an Aquaman movie. And continue.
Emphasis on the cunt? Anyhow, Count Druncula says, "As I understand it, and I could be wrong, Shazam is still supposed to be part of the DC Cinematic Universe, but won't tie in directly to the Justice League movies, similar to how Guardians of the Galaxy didn't address the Avengers in any way, but still exists in the same sphere of movies. I think that's how Shazam is supposed to go, but again, maybe I'm wrong and Frank is right. The casting of Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Black Adam worries me for a number of reasons. He's too charming and instantly likable. His smile lights up the room." This man has an affection for The Rock.
But he's also not wrong.
He's not wrong. "He should be playing Captain Marvel, not Black Adam." And Casey is wrong because he is old as fuck and only getting older. And just like swole. Again, that guy's going to look like Baymax.
He's a big collection of veins now, and it's really weird.
Veins and tattoos, but charming tattoos. "My fear is that he will completely overshadow whoever plays Captain Marvel, and even more than that, Warner Brothers will change his character to be more of a sympathetic hero instead of a proper villain, which DC's already been doing for the last few years, so what the fuck? DC might get a female starring hero on the big screen first, but Marvel will release Captain Marvel before DC releases Shazam. If DC and Warner Brothers are banking on The Rock's popularity to carry Shazam, they might be a couple of years too late. Hercules didn't make enough money in America to cover its production budget. Big Hero 6 was a lot of fun, about as fun as GOTG for pure movie enjoyment, but with a ton of heart. Aquaman can definitely work as a live-action film while still being set in the water, as long as the undersea realm is depicted more or less like an alien environment. I think the Aquaman movie has to look and feel a lot like James Cameron's Avatar. It has to be completely immersive in a corner of the earth that almost no one has ever explored. Also, the trailer for Aquaman should be dramatized, just a dramatized version of this page by Alex Ross, which is the Alex Ross painting of Aquaman on top of a whale. Once again, it involves a whale, though. You can look at the image and decide for yourself on the blog.
Fuck whales.
That would be difficult. You'd have to use like at least the whole arm.
Unless, except for the what Blackfish documentary, I thought was heart wrenching. And
see, I told you the ocean is fucking scary. If you emphasize the spookiness of the ocean and the constant danger, jungles have nothing on oceans in terms of being dangerous as fuck. And people like jungle movies, not for like 40 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't like
40 years ago, they liked jungle movies. Well, 40 years ago, they liked ocean movies too. People just like guns now. If it doesn't have a gun and titties, nobody's got a use for it. Gun titties. Those have gotten more popular in recent years,
those
too.
Have gotten more
Machete, popular. That Ariana Grande video. Anyhow, moving on. I, too, love the X-Men run by Cockrum, Byrne, Paul Smith, and John Romita Jr. For me, the glory days of X-Men ended with the Morlock Massacre when Claremont wrote Kitty, Nightcrawler, and Colossus out of the book and replaced them with fucking Dazzler, Longshot, and Havoc. Hallelujah. Also, that's about when Silvestri came aboard. Having said that, Alan Davis is one of my favorite comic artists, so I wouldn't mind listening to an Excalibur episode in the future. My guilty pleasure book from a couple of years ago is Rick Remender's Uncanny X-Force. The whole series read like a love letter to the 90s era X-Men, particularly the aspects the fans loved in the 90s and then hated in the aughts. But Remender makes things like Archangel and Apocalypse and Phantomax work amazingly well, and perhaps his greatest accomplishment, he actually made Deadpool funny and fun to read. Give it a shot on Marvel Unlimited. I doubt Frank would like the series very much, but I think Mac and Mr. Fixit would enjoy it. I think that Mr. Fixit has read and enjoyed Uncanny X-Force.
Okay.
Siskoid writes, oh yeah, I meant to comment on Revolutionary War, because I'd given up on Marvel in the 90s and never read a single Marvel UK book. I still enjoyed the heck out of Revolutionary War, even though I only knew Captain Britain, MI-13, and could recognize Death's Head in a crowd. I'd love to see these characters more regularly. And then, of course, I made some jokes about Shag using Siskoid as a proxy to push an Alpha Flight agenda. Siskoid wrote, I am most definitely not pushing Alpha Flight through Shag. I'm not even pushing Alpha Flight on my own. You're much too American to tackle that particular subject in any way that won't make me see red. And I have to disagree. I know a lot about Canadians. And like my girlfriend, she made me watch a whole season of Degrassi, The Next Generation. And it was that one where they were like running it every day through a summer. And Claire, the Christian girl, had hooked up with this goth guy who drove around in a hearse. And he got all obsessed with her. And he drove the hearse into a wall and he almost died. And then this bully guy almost stabbed him in the school. So I know all about Canadians. And like, did you see Bowling for Columbine, where they had that sequence where they were talking about how they have guns in Canada too, but since they're not assholes, they don't shoot each other as much? That told me a lot about Canadians. Or in that Kevin Smith, Evening with Kevin Smith, where he talks about Tim Hortons. Canadians love Tim Hortons, I understand. So, like, do you have any, you know, background on Canadians?
Kids in the Hall.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Or back in the day when Comedy Central wasn't running old episodes of Saturday Night Live, they'd occasionally throw in an SCTV there. And they had those hoser guys, the Spuds McKenzie and Dan, right? Dan and Spuds McKenzie, something like that.
Shut up. Next comment, please.
I just say that we're total experts on Canadians, and write on your Canadian calendar that we're going to do an Alpha Flight episode in a future time.
And also Norm MacDonald.
Is Norm MacDonald Canadian? Oh, hey.
Yes, he's a Canadian dude. Dirty Work is one of the best movies ever.
It was one of the first. That was actually like one of the first DVDs I ever bought off a shelf.
Dirty Work?
Because it was cheap.
Kids in the Hall. I know everything there is about Canada.
The filmography of Michael J. Fox. We're experts. We can do this.
The Marvel Superheroes podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. The views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker.
He thinks Ultron is the coolest thing ever. And we watched Stargate the other night. And, you know, there's one of the scenes where Daniel's sitting there sneezing. And I'm like, yep, that's Ultron. He's like, what? I'm like, yep, there you go.
It's funny, too, because that is like one of the least James Spader-y James Spader roles ever.
Yeah, but he does a great job in it. It shows at least he has a range.
Oh, no. James Spader, for many years, was one of my favorite actors. If you watch something like Mannequin, which is another movie where he's just completely doing
Jesus. That was him? I forgot.
Yeah, him in the glasses, the nerdy guy.
Oh, who was. Yeah. The minute you said it, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but that's just it. Is until somebody points it out, you're never going to think about that being a James Spader movie.
Yeah.
You know, that guy, but he kind of got typecasting. He was doing the same thing over and over again, but he was so good at that one thing, you tended to forget what a good actor he could be when he had some range.
Yeah.
And there was another one too, Dream Lover, I think it was, with Madge and Amick. Did you ever see that one?
That one.
Yeah, she's. Did you ever watch Twin Peaks?
You know, I tried. I didn't watch much of it, but all my friends did. So
yeah, okay. So if you're not a Twin Peaks fan, then seeing one of the main characters nude wouldn't be that interesting to you. But that was another really good role where he wasn't playing James Spader-ish character.
Okay.
So I was really happy. I love that James Spader. I want to figure out which villain Andrew McCarthy's going to play. I'm kind of fascinated by that.
I almost spit out my Diet Mountain Dew. Holy shit, that was funny. Who else would they need?
Jimmy Gertz,
Andrew McCarthy.
Jamie Gertz. Emilio Estevez.
Wasn't Andrew McCarthy, wasn't he in...
Mannequin. It all comes together.
Didn't he get into Amazing Spider-Man?
What?
No, that was the other guy.
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Soul Man.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Hitcher.
C. Thomas Howell,
yeah.
So he's another one.
Well, that wasn't quite a career revival there, though.
What about Emilio Estevez? He's
exactly.
Be something, right?
Oh, yo, Emilio Estevez was huge. Emilio Estevez was a sex symbol back in the early 90s. He's got his time. He deserves it.
A good filler episode?
Yeah, exactly. Trust me, that's all I've been doing for the last couple of months, it seems like, because we recorded so much material for this movie stuff, and I wasn't going to do a four-hour episode. I'm not crazy like some people I know and put up 4 hours worth of footage.
You were fucking there, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I didn't edit it.
True.
So me being
we only punish people for 1 week, though. I'm just saying.
So me being economical, I've been spreading out these movie episodes.
Was that loud?
Yeah, it was a little loud. Such an asshole. And I enjoy that. You're such an asshole, dude. No wonder those Aquaman people want to beat your ass.
Hey, they got fucking mad, but I think I made some really fucking valid points, and I was telling you this too.
Fuck water.
Well, I mean, I'm going to run to you. Fuck water.
No, that's fucking legit. How many successful movies are there that fucking revolve around water in a movie?
Thank you. Waterworld did okay internationally.
Was that Star Trek movie you like with the whales?
That
was
a Star Trek movie, first and
foremost. And that's not a water movie, yeah.
Okay, so straight water?
Yeah, stuff that's really based around the water.
There was like a straight up success where people are like, shit, I cannot wait to go see water. Jaws does not count.
Because?
It's in the water?
No, it's not. Actually, a lot of Jaws does not take place in the water.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Where your predominant special effect is water.
Okay,
Where you're underwater. What was that fucking battleship movie?
Titanic?
Oh, Titanic, yeah.
No, Titanic doesn't count.
Why doesn't Titanic count?
What's that movie?
You're saying
The Abyss?
The Abyss wasn't a very successful movie.
Not a successful movie.
Was that?
No.
It was a huge flop, actually.
Deep I mean, it's a movie that nerds appreciated, and so it has
Pacific,
a following.
Pacific
but
Rim? Wasn't that one?
That's Big Robots. That's just because it says Pacific doesn't mean that it's actual like.
I'm trying to give you something. I'm telling you, you can't.
Pearl Harbor. I mean, today's Pearl Harbor.
No, that was a flop too. I mean, it wasn't a flop, but I don't know if it was a huge flop, but it underperformed in a big way. Okay, wasn't a flop. Okay, I'll go with that.
Water based movie. I don't really think of any. And Aquaman wouldn't really be that much in the water, would he?
Well, it depends. I mean, you could do the effects now. I think that's one of the major things is you can do interesting things in the water now that you couldn't do back then because you don't actually have to film anything in water. You can, like, animate people at this point using mocap.
So now we're talking about CGI.
Yeah. Computer-generated water. No, it's no different than, again, I hate to bring this up, but, like, Green Lantern is, you know, they're flying through space all the fucking time. Well, you just, instead of it being them flying through space, they're floating through water, swimming through water.
Yeah, but space is unlimited. Like you can keep going. With water, you're eventually going to hit land or you're going
to
hit something.
Right. That's just it, though, is that you can interact with stuff. Like in space, you have to have something that actually goes out into space to fight.
Yeah.
Where in the water, a shark can show up at any time or some like deep sea creature can show up at any time. That's one of the things that I was trying to tell Mac about is that at any moment, an octopus can come and encircle your legs. At any moment, something can show up and it not be like.
How do they have a conversation underwater?
And that well, for starters, Aquaman's telepathic, so he can speak telepathically under the water.
This
This just keeps getting more and more on my side.
It's more like dolphins, man. They're like, just clicking to each other.
Uncanny.
Thank you, thank you.
That was good.
You should hear my Mac. It's quite well. So, I don't know. I just can't see them again. I mean, Aquaman, it's going to be like 90% on land. He's going to be probably by the beach all the time. And then do some weird shit where like he moves his hands.
Well, no, it's just like Pirates of the Caribbean. You come out of the water and you have a big fight on a ship. Or you're tearing up a battleship or something. Like shit Namor would do.
I just, like, what's
the... Because that's the thing. It's Aquaman is underwater, more of an underwater... I don't know. It kind of varies.
But I can't. I just can't think of a riveting Aquaman story. Like, I mean,
there's some good Aquaman stories.
Okay, you got his hand cut off. His kid got killed. Okay, so that's a dark Aquaman. Like, it's a really dark, twisted Aquaman. You can go the CG shit and bring like the creatures from, like you said, Pirates of the Caribbean, and those are the creatures of the sea. Okay, I don't see.
Here's the thing: is I understand where Mac's coming from with water because there's this tendency to associate water with lameness. I'm sure all those Jaws movies didn't help, but you look at like the 50s; they did a lot of undersea stuff. You had Sea Hunt, Sea Quest. You got 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. There's all kinds of ocean shows because people were interested in exploring the water. Jacques Rousseau's golden period, 60s and 70s, right? We just decided at some point that water was lame. Aquaman kind of contributed to that because he had such cheesy... What the fuck is that, dude?
Are you guys recording? Are you guys recording?
Yes.
That's my fucking fantasy team balling out right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, it's I'm
trying to make that.
I don't know, you're trying to ruin my fucking point. Sabotage. Right, is that Aquaman was so cheesy in Super Friends, he was so useless in Super Friends, that contributed to the lameness. All those stupid Jaws movies, and then all the movies that ripped off Jaws, like Piranha, Sharknado, it just got to where they wore out the intrigue and the danger and the sex appeal of the ocean. But there's nothing you can do in an outer space movie that you can do in an underwater movie.
But see, the only thing that's...
For me, I think it's more immediate because the shit's still happening on Earth. If you blow some shit up in the water, you're still going to be blowing some shit up for the land and fucking shit up for the land. But see, the main issue is don't do the shit where it's like giant tidal waves are crashing down the city because people aren't impressed by that.
No, if you're going to do...
Well, they should be. Fucking tsunamis are some scary ass shit.
To me, the only way it would work is if Aquaman's like invading... The land lovers,
but that's
shit.
Just it. That's Namor stuff. That's the problem, but is they, that all the stuff that they are gonna, everything I can see them doing with Jason Momoa is gonna be Namor shit because Namor is fucking cool. Namor, if you're trying really hard to the cool Aqua character, you're doing Namor.
Yeah.
Because if you do Aquaman, you've got to do a softer fantasy story where he's riding around on seahorses and he's the adoptive. He's the adoptive father of Sea of Aqualad. He's got the wife and he's got the kid. And he's got the cave and he's the king of Atlantis and blah blah blah. It's too soft for modern audiences apparently, so they're gonna have to go and have him tearing shit up and being a badass, and that's Namor. Well, a lot of this is shit that'll be cast off anyway. The last thing we need to do is talk about Aquaman some more on our podcast. We're mostly just bullshitting at the moment, honestly. But I think what happened is I've got that letter from Shag, and I think I might just insert some of that Aquaman stuff in there, but I don't want to talk about Aquaman anymore. I don't want to talk about Man of Steel anymore. I don't want to talk about the Christopher Nolan Batman movies anymore.
Okay, so what I was going to say is the new episode dropped, and we had to record it a couple times, actually, because this whole recording problem I'm having. So I lie on the show and say recorded something 14 times. I think we only recorded it twice, but by the end of it, it was like 2 in the morning. I'm getting a little punchy, and I brought you guys up. I brought your show up, and it was meant to sound complimentary. I don't know that it did.
Oh, no, it's okay. We don't – you got to understand, and you heard enough of the episodes, I think. You recognize we're pugnacious. We fuck with each other. So we don't have problems with getting screwed with. I try to make sure I don't say anything too harsh about Fire and Water because I don't know how you guys would react to it.
Fine.
But
your buddies said it might be different, but it's you. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, too, is that Mac, I don't know if you heard the response to...
I have. That's what I addressed. I addressed the response.
Yeah, he took it as a compliment. I mean, he's happy to have the attention, positive, negative. He's cool with it.
Well, what I said something like... I was joking around. I basically said something to the effect of, I was listening to your show recently and they gave a very juvenile, infantile argument against Aquaman. I was pretty mean about it. Mm-hmm. And then so that's part I don't remember if it's bad. That might be the rough part. Mm-hmm. Anyway, then I said you read a letter that was just eloquent and brilliant and was like, you know, like literature this letter was, meaning my own.
Sign tag, yeah.
Obvious. Anyway, and then I said, and then I gave you guys compliments because you made a good, either you or Mac made a good point where I don't think a movie just called Aquaman is a good idea. It needs to be like Aquaman, King of the Seven Seas or, you know, whatever. But just the name Aquaman on the screen is not a good idea. I agree. So it was intended to be a compliment. I don't know. I think I may have been a little harsh on Mac. I don't remember.
That's great. No, I think we like it. Because honestly, one thing I want to do with you guys at some point in the future, and it's probably going to be long form because I've already screwed up recording with Rob by oversleeping that one time. I still feel guilty.
He thinks it's funny. Don't worry.
Yeah, I still feel really bad about it though. Because I haven't signed on to Skype in months. Because usually when we do internet stuff, Mac insists on using Google Hangout. So the first thing I do is I see that, oh, there's an alert for Rob Kelly. I look and it's like all the times he tried to recall me that night while I was still asleep before I even knew. And I don't, you know, it's sad when you forget which direction the friggin' earth turns and manage to screw up that badly. So I feel so guilty about that.
Well, just fair warning, you'll need to do a little smoothing with Rob and Mac, because I think Rob was pretty mad when he listened about the Mac. I mean, we're not mad. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not right. He was really rubbed the wrong way by Mac in that episode.
The following program contains mature language and spoilers. 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 Spoilers.
Because I've made a point, I'm very anti-spoiler. I know that the polls say that people like to know what they're going to see, and I guess most people do. I don't. I thrive on surprise. I can usually figure out a lot of a movie just from watching a trailer. I just love going into a movie cold, you know, as little information as possible and just experience it whole without all these elements that I know I have to look forward to. So I didn't read any descriptions. I watched that trailer cold. The only thing I'd known about is the stuff that everybody knows about, like that you're going to the Hulkbuster armor and a fight with the Iron Man Hulk. I knew that there was going to be the image of the shattered shield, but basically that was it. Oh, and also I figure most of that footage is from early in the movie because of I think it's all going to be involving Strucker. My understanding is that's sort of like the James Bond pre-title sequence stuff where that'll get wrapped up in a matter of 15 minutes or so.
Right.
But it looked to me, I don't know, but like my friend, you know, Mac, he was high off of it. He was, and when I was less enthusiastic about it, he was telling me, you're high. But he got the stuff he wanted to see. He got Ultron. He's an Avengers guy. So he got his Ultron. He got his Hulkbuster armor. He got that shot from Secret Wars number 12 with the shattered shield. Whereas for me, I'm looking at it and I'm seeing a lot of very basic practical effects that you see in tons of action movies. I'm not seeing much in the way of the story.
Oh gosh, I sat down with a friend and we did like a little YouTube thing about the DC Comics news and we ended up talking for 40 minutes. That's...
Well, I mean, our last podcast was that. What I wanted to do is a Tomb of Dracula episode before realizing that nobody but me had read any Tomb of Dracula ever. And we were going to try to watch the terrible Japanese movie that came out in the early 80s. But Fixit just didn't have time to stick around. So I just started talking to him about the news that had come out. And I'd already, we were actually going to do a spinoff show for just the mail. And I was going to do that with Paquita. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out, so I just integrated the failed pilot with the conversation I had with Fixit, and boom, here's your episode.
No, it's good. Yeah.
But when you announce 10 movies, that's all, you can talk for a full podcast just about 10 movies being released out of DC.
Right. And the thing, like, what I kept coming back to was if Marvel had done the same thing, if Marvel had said, here's our next 10 movies over 5 or 6 years, nobody would have batted an eye. They would have said, cool, we're excited, we'll be there for everyone.
Well, they're on that streak. Nothing's broken that streak
DC,
yet.
Warner Brothers has not banked that level of credibility or authority with us yet. Everything is based on one movie that is sort of dividing fans, which is itself a sequel of a movie that was very divided amongst fans.
Captain America and Guardians of the Galaxy and all these other movies are making more than your Superman movie. You really got to reevaluate where you've been going. And they've got Batman down. They know what they're doing with Batman. Now, you know, they've lost Christopher Nolan, but I'm confident they could have gotten, hell, if they'd done, let Zack Snyder have a Batman movie, and that would have probably been fine. They could have just done that and everybody would have been happy, because as long as you have a solid script, Zack Snyder doesn't tweak the script. He just is the visual stylist. If you give him good material to direct, then it'll be fine. If you give him bad material to direct, you get sucker punch. Problem is, you put him on Superman, he doesn't have the aesthetic, I don't want to say aesthetic quality, but he's just not the guy who's going to
be able to tune into Superman's wavelength and give people what they want to see.
He's definitely got a strong visual eye. He can capture a lot of flash, but I don't get much substance or soul from his movies. For Superman more than others, you need to kind of dig down a little bit deeper in order to find what would make him special for a contemporary audience. It's not easy to make Superman palatable for this generation, I think, but it's not impossible either. And I don't think, I kind of have this thing where I think 2008 and 2009, we sort of reached the apex of the grim and gritty superhero movie. I think The Dark Knight was it. That was about as dark and grim and gritty as we wanted from our superhero films. And then Watchmen came after that. And that's still, some fans responded positively to that. But since then, the pendulum has swung. And you look at the movies that people have really responded to, Avengers and Iron Man, the Marvel movies, they've been fun. They haven't been sort of drowning in their own melodrama and pathos. The Amazing Spider-Man movies have been failing in this. You got a bright colored superhero, but they're all about death and sadness. I think 4 of the 5 Spider-Man movies have ended with Peter Parker at a funeral. I think the company, other than Marvel Studios, the companies that are making these superhero movies, they're kind of hitching onto the wrong star. I just think they've got the wrong tone in mind.
They're still trying to prove that they take the material seriously and they want other people to take the material seriously. And so they're like these nerds who are demanding respect from everybody. I am intelligent. You must respect me. I am serious. You must respect me. And what Marvel's done very smartly is they've recognized that people have already accepted superheroes. You've had generations of people who watched them as cartoons. They've spent gobs of money on them when they've been done right as motion pictures. Marvel is doing what they want and they're not up their own ass. They're loose and, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, was a fairly serious story tackling some real world scary stuff that's happening. But they still managed to get it. You know, my girlfriend hates what she called the forced humor of that movie, but it had just enough humor so that it didn't get so weighed down in itself that it was a total drag, and great action beats so that it was serious enough so that you took the material seriously, but not so serious that it was a bore. And then you look at something like The Dark Knight Rises, where they're trying to tackle a serious subject, a serious real world subject. They don't even have a good handle on that. So that's problem number one, is I still don't know what the subtext of that movie was supposed to be. And then
I think they were just trying to make Rocky 3. I really think that's all it was.
Oh, dear Lord.
Watch that movie and then watch Rocky 3. There are a lot of surprising similarities.
I don't want to. Don't make me. I try to pretend they didn't make anything after the first one. So just the increasing levels of ridiculousness. And I did make it to Rocky 5. I think once you've done Rocky 5, you can't go back again. It's just, there's something broken in your soul that you can't move past.
Yeah. So, but anyway, looking at the long plan for DC, strangely, the movies that I'm really concerned about and that I have no real interest in seeing are the 3 Justice League, like kind of united movies. It's the solo projects that I'm at least curious about. I think Wonder Woman, I'm hoping Wonder Woman is great. I want it to succeed. I'm fearful, but I want that one to be really good. The Aquaman solo movie, even though I don't know why they're casting Prince Namor the Submariner as Aquaman, you know, I want to see that just because I'm a fan of that character and I want to see him in a movie. And then the 2020 year, they've got Cyborg, which I'm of two minds with the character because I don't like the way it felt like they forced him on the Justice League as the replacement for John Johns, just as the sort of token black character. At the same time, I like that they have given that character a new status, that they have raised him up, because I think Cyborg is a character that can be very popular and that can really tap into the zeitgeist of this culture. We are a culture sort of obsessed with technology. He plugs into that. He is Oracle, but he can be a field type of operative too.
I understand that ambivalence because I'm Johnny White Liberal Guilt, so I've always wanted to do up with the black characters. Let's have greater representation. But it's at war with the fanboy in me that read New Teen Titans. It was one of the first books I picked up as a comic reader. And Vic Stone being the least interesting character in that book for decades. But and I remember too, back in the old DC Comics message board days, where somebody felt like Steel was what Cyborg should have become. And because they've been focusing on his tech so much, I need for Vic Stone to have a brain in his head. I need for him to be able to take credit for being the guy who has these robotic parts and does something with them. The problem I have is when he's a jock who has these cyborg parts gifted to him by his super intelligent dad, and all he does is run around and blast stuff with them. He has to own his own parts, or else that was actually the same problem with Jim Rhodes, is that he's got this armor. He can do great things with his armor.
armor, but as soon as the armor breaks down, he's got to run to Reed Richards because he doesn't have the wherewithal to do anything about it. He can operate it fine, but he can't fix it if there's a problem with it. I need Cyborg to be able to fix his own self, because if he's completely relying on other people to come and fix him, there's a subtext there that I'm not at all comfortable with.
Gosh, it's really sounding like Firestorm and that sort of 70s kind of like hero, like sort of archetype that, you know, it's not the self-made man anymore. It's sort of the accident, like the Rich Rider Nova that you guys were talking about on the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's the hero who just sort of falls ass backwards into this situation that he can't really take ownership of. Another tangent. I could kind of see this. I could kind of read this in the tea leaves a little bit earlier, because Robert Downey Jr.'s tone has changed so much over the last year with the success of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy. He realizes that he's not indispensable to the Marvel brand. And for the first couple of years, he was what was selling these movies. He was the star of the Avengers. And I think Marvel has shown him, hey, we don't need you. We have no plans for an Iron Man 4. He's getting older and he knows what it feels like to have his stardom taken away from him. So I think he was, when the chance came to sort of renegotiate his contract and pop up in another one of these, I think he was like, yeah, I'll take a little bit less money to do more of these projects.
Actually, I would partially disagree with that, because he's going from getting $50 million for the Avengers to $40 million plus part of the back end if it reaches a certain number, which it's going to, since it's essentially going to be another Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to get an even bigger payday potentially from Civil War than he did from Avengers. Mm-hmm. I think that all this is talk. I do think that he legitimately gets tired of being in that Iron Man suit, and I think any excuse he can have to stay out of it, I don't think he'll be in the Iron Man suit very much in Civil War. He doesn't want to do that. He's tired of that aspect, but he's not tired of making personal island money. And
right.
He can say, I don't want to do it again until somebody pays him enough to do it again. And he's going to keep taking that money as long as he can get away with it. But I do think that those days are numbered, because you're right. Marvel has shown that, just like they, and that was the mentality they had, especially after the Image Exodus, that Marvel's the brand. It's not about the stars. It's not even necessarily about the characters. It's about the universe. And mm-hmm. to some degree, they're right. And I think at some point they will be able to get away with that. But I think the main thing that could to tear Marvel down is that at some point people want to get paid. If you know that this company is making money, this isn't Brokeback Mountain. This isn't some little movie that mm-hmm. suddenly blows up. It's like they're doing nothing but making these cheap, relatively cheap movies that make tons of money. If you're not willing to pay out the people who helped to make that happen, sooner or later somebody will. And then when your talent gets hired away from you and you can't create at the level you used to, you'll realize your mistake. I think that Feige knows that, and I think he's having a fight with Ike Perlmutter to make sure that they don't lose the people that have made Marvel Studios what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I was trying to map out the Marvel movies, because they've got so many that are just unannounced. I think 2017, we know the July movie will be Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which I'm hoping is called Electric Boogaloo. And then they've got they've got a May movie and a November movie. And I think one of those, even though they really haven't been amping up to it, I think one of those is going to be Thor 3, because I think they just need to get that out of the way. Thor the Dark World came out in November, so maybe Thor 3 will be the November release. And I think the other one has to be, it'll be too soon to be a Doctor Strange or Ant-Man sequel, so it's either going to be, it's got to be something new. It's got to be like Black Panther or Captain Marvel, maybe a Black Widow solo movie, although I really think the reason they're not going ahead on that is I think Joss Whedon is going to kill her off in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, I hope not.
Well,
I'm glad that they've got another heroine already lined up, but it's a little, man, you don't go killing all your women.
Joss has the track record for that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, agreed. That could happen. I mean, if anybody, or Hawkeye, you could knock him out too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Renner's already had his, you know, Marvel doesn't like it when you speak ill of Marvel in the public, and he's had some words on occasion, so he might have gotten the crosshairs put on him as well.
I think most of his ill words were sort of in his own defense, like, they're not letting me do anything, but
I get that, but man, I just don't, she's Black Widow would definitely not have been the character I would have put at the forefront of Marvel's female heroines. She wouldn't have been an initial Avenger, but they've already done that. And as many reservations I had as about Scarlett Johansson in that role, she won me over between Avengers and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, so, she's gotten better each time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope they don't go there. I know that there's stuff out there. So I know that a lot of times when people are talking about that kind of stuff, they know better than I, but I just don't want to see that.
I'm not basing it on anything. I haven't heard that's just anything gut. To that effect. Okay, good. It's just my little conspiracy theory.
And then as far as you're talking about Captain Marvel, I've never stopped loving your idea for the Captain Marvel movie. I just wanted to reiterate that.
Oh, don't. I mean, if you're worried about selling it as a female movie, don't sell it that way. Sela as the male hero and do basically the psycho twist. Just kill off the man halfway through the movie and replace him with the female.
I want to see that. I think that would be excellent. You can't really take Marvel out of Captain Marvel's origin, mm-hmm. but clearly, I mean, I never realized, because I've been looking at the Marvel stuff, Captain Marvel stuff recently, because I've been trying to do some reading on Ronin, because we're going to have to cover that miniseries. Mm-hmm. And we're all like, really? Do we still have to keep doing this Annihilation stuff? But I was trying to read the early issues of Captain Marvel to brush up on my Ronin. Stardom was only on that book for about 8 issues, and it seemed like about every 8 issues, they had an entire creative team turnover, and that character has never supported a book. The closest you got was Genus, and Genus is a whole mess of crazy that nobody wants to be dealing with in the cinematic universe. So right. Ideally, you just you tell that Captain Marvel origin story. Part of that origin was that there was the guy who wanted to kill Captain Marvel, and this time you just let him kill him, and you've set up Miss Marvel and just let her go from there. That would be so awesome. But now that you've lost Palicki, who do you want?
Oh, gosh.
You're not one of the Katie Sackhoff people, are you?
I wouldn't have a problem with that. She wouldn't be my first choice. If they said yes, I could see her in that role just because she played something similar in Battlestar. Gosh, I don't know.
Gonna have to think about that, huh? Okay. Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I don't want Amy Adams, and I don't want Jennifer Lawrence. I just know that.
That's not gonna happen, I don't think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no. I'll have to give more thought to my fan casting of that.
I know you're capable.
Really? Have I ever done anything with that? Let me think.
It's your milieu.
Yeah. I don't even know why. It just started with me. Years ago, I had this idea that it seems like they're kind of doing, but I thought the way Warner Brothers should do a Justice League movie that is different than what Marvel is doing, but still gives them a lot of breathing room to develop the characters, is to tell one big epic origin story spread over 3 movies like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And the first one is just a Superman and Batman team up, and you see what their worlds are like when they collide. And then over the second movie, you introduce Wonder Woman, Flash, and Green Lantern. And then by the third one, they've got Aquaman and Martian Manhunter. And
I read that Tumblr.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty confident it'll be better than what ends up on the screen.
Okay, 2 hours ago when this conversation started, you mentioned how you try to go into movies cold. You don't look for like spoilers and stuff like that. I'm kind of selective. When it comes to the Marvel movies, I do kind of seek out some of those spoilers. I hope not to be surprised and have anything ruined for me, but it does happen. Like I heard about Coulson's death before I saw the movie, and it pissed me off because it was a surprise spoiler. Like I went to a thing that said, like a website had like a review of Avengers 2, it's like spoilers below. And I was like, well, I know what's going to happen in the movie. So I clicked on it, and it's just a bullet point list of what happens in the movie. And like the second thing is Loki kills Coulson. And I was like, okay, fuck you. That's not the way to do a review with the spoilers.
For me, I can't help but follow comic book news, and people can't help but let stuff drop intentionally, right. Unintentionally. As much as I want to be surprised, there's very rarely an instance where I didn't. I think Artem Zola was a legitimate surprise for me, but I've had much of that stuff spoiled without seeking it out. It's almost impossible if you want to interact with people on the internet to not have that stuff happen.
So, but like with most of the Marvel movies, I'll read whatever is published on Bleeding Cool and comicbookmovie.com and those sites, and if they give some spoilers, I'm fine with that. With the DC ones, like the pictures that have come out with Superman and Batman, I just scroll right past them, and it's not because I'm avoiding spoilers, it's because I don't care.
You may have noticed one of my sessions got turned into the stinger for the most recent episode. Mm-hmm. It was old Count Druncula. We had a talk, and it's like, hey, you just happened to have a conversation about Mockingbird the week where you fell ass backwards into a Mockingbird podcast. Let's plug that in there.
Yeah, that was at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was, what's his name?
Count Druncula.
Okay,
his
that's
real name's
right.
Ryan Daly, and I wouldn't say that except that it's all over the internet. But because I tend to lean toward the superhero alter ego aspect, I just make a point of referring to him as Count Druncula. But what was fun with that is nobody knew about that. So Mac was like, who the hell was that guy on the end of the podcast? And why didn't you give him a shout out? It's like, it's not a true Marvel stinger if we tell you who the character is.
Right. No, that was good. That was good. I actually enjoyed that.
It's just like Guardians of the Galaxy. When the lights came up, some chotch guy with his little polo shirt turns around and was like, do you know who that guy was? Oh, that was Howard the Duck, the star of the first ever major motion picture from Marvel. And he's like, oh, okay. That's the way I see it, you know, just like plug it in there. It's like, oh, you don't know who that guy is? Well, turn to the nerd to the left of you and ask him, and he'll let you know. You still got your fingers crossed for a movie?
Planet Hulk movie, yeah. I think they'll do it. Maybe Phase 4. I saw somewhere on the net that maybe that's where they're leading with that.
There are people who keep denying, no, we're not going to do World War Hulk. We're not doing that. But what happens after Avengers comes out? A lot of people have a lot of theories about what's going to be in Avengers Age of Ultron. There's nothing currently on the slate to deal with the Hulk, but there's still a bunch of dates that Marvel's called and haven't said what they're going to put there. So I think they're being cagey, just like they were being cagey about Captain Marvel and Black Panther until finally they were getting so much shit talked about them over the Wonder Woman movie and the Cyborg movie that they finally said, you know what? We've been working on this. Here's a date. Here's the stars. Go fuck yourselves.
Yeah. I think and let's make it fun. You. Not like DC was like, hey, they're talking to their financiers and all that stuff.
Right. It's a freaking stock broker's meeting or shareholders
Marvel
meeting.
Makes it an event. You know, they make it.
Oh, and they've got that freaking trailer with Thanos in it. Yeah, the teaser trailer. Yeah. Then you've got the at the time exclusive scenes from Avengers.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Now, did you see the scene with Cap and Iron Man arguing over the log
split? Yeah. And then he, bang, you know, he took that log. I was like, what?
I said the trailer didn't win me over like most people, but I'm not a hater. I know I'm going to fucking love that movie. I didn't love the trailer. It was okay, but it's because they haven't shown me the stuff that I'm waiting for because I know what's coming. I know what's in that movie, or at least enough of it that my balls are blue. I'm ready to fucking see this shit, but they're not going to give me my vision yet. They're not going to confirm some of these cameos I think are in there. Well, they're not going to show any late stuff.
They've talked about it in articles, though, that Vision, Paul Bettany is going to be the Vision.
I don't know if they've actually officially confirmed it. I know that if you look at that promotional poster they did where it's painted and all the heroes are there, there's a background image that the Vision is a part of, so I don't think they've come. I don't think they've denied it. I just don't think they've ever. I'm not sure if they've ever officially confirmed it.
I read an article that Robert Downey Jr. and I want to say Mark Ruffalo were talking about Paul. They were making fun of Paul Bettany because he's sitting in the makeup chair for 6 hours. They go in and out of the makeup room, and he's still sitting there because he's taking on the makeup. And they're saying it was phenomenal.
I can't wait.
I mean,
to see
that
him,
that's the article that I read, and either they're pulling my chain or that's a confirmation right there.
You may be more informed than me.
The only thing I don't like about the Age of Ultron trailer while we're there is Thor's hammer is bouncing when it drops it on the ground.
I've heard that complaint. I don't worry about it. I've been reading comic books for 30 some odd years. I can forgive a little lapse in physics.
Yeah. So. Well, but the funny thing is when they gave that teaser, the extended teaser, where they're trying to lift the hammer. When Thor puts down the hammer, you hear it. Foop.
Right.
Just like you could tell that thing is not moving. And then they showed it later on in the same trailer and it bounces. I'm like, ah. It doesn't matter, but it caught my eye and it catches my eye every time I watch it.
And you don't bring attention to something like that in a trailer because especially the trailers, these things get watched 15, 20 times by each individual, maybe
that's
more.
True. You're right.
So you're just absolutely scrutinizing that one. So
I did like it. I did like that extended where Cap tries to pick up the hammer and he moves it and Thor's face just drops.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Because in the comics, Cap can pick up the hammer. He's worthy.
Yeah.
So and apparently in the movie universe, he isn't quite there yet, but that was a great telling moment because I don't think we need that story yet. I don't think we need to see Cap pick up that hammer yet.
Right.
But it makes me wonder if maybe it's a foreshadowing of a future time.
Well, it might be, yeah.
But regardless, it's a great moment anyway, just for that the face that Thor pulls out.
Yeah, he's like, wait, what?
What?
No, I just wanted to say that on the Avengers, you know, they're talking, the Avengers Age of Ultron, they're talking about how an Avenger's going to die in this movie. They've mentioned it already, that an Avenger's going to die. I just want to say, just between us or whatever, that it's going to be Rhodey. I think it's going to be Rhodey. I think they're going to take out Don Cheadle's character.
I hope they don't go
I think War Machine will go down, because I can't see anybody else going down.
But you're the second person who's brought up their death pool. But you don't have the same characters.
Oh, really?
Count Dracula thinks Black Widow. You think Rhodey.
I think Rhodey.
And I think part of it may be because maybe Scarlett Johansson doesn't want to keep doing these movies. Maybe they don't have a contract for her. Maybe it's because they've gone on record saying they don't have current plans for a Black Widow movie. Mm-hmm. I think that probably just the pregnancy is a part of that. Because when you know you've got an actress who's already pregnant, who's going to have a kid in the future, you never know if they're going to take a break for a few years.
Right.
Not to get into the whole gender discrimination argument, but when you don't know if somebody's going to be available to play a character for a few years while they're raising their kid, you kind of have to figure out other things to do.
I think they already said that Black Widow wasn't going to come out in Cap 3, though, right?
I don't know if they've said that or not.
Maybe I misunderstood.
The thing is that they're not filming it yet,
but
how would you use her prominently if she's coming back from having given birth? You know, if she's even available, because I mean, if you're a new mother, I wouldn't expect you'd necessarily want to be away for 3 to 6 weeks filming segments for a Cap sequel.
You're right. Yeah, but now, I mean, the way I understand it, they used a lot of body double in this one anyway.
Yeah, I believe so too. Yeah. Well, it's just like that clip that you saw where they make sure to keep her, like everybody else is trying to work the hammer and she's like, I don't need to do that. And just drinks her beer and it's all in close frame so you don't save
your
body.
That makes sense.
So, yeah.
And then they had that tweet picture of, was it Jeremy Renner?
Wearing the face.
Has her face, which is, it was really creepy. It was really creepy. I was like, Jesus, that's scary.
That was some disturbing shit, man. That was not right.
Those man arms with that face, I was like, ooh. No. But it was fun. It was fun to watch. I was like, that's freaking hilarious. That but was, it's kind of
well, it's just because your brain has trouble registering it because it's such a good likeness.
Yeah.
And then it's distorted by the expansion of it on his head. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's not connected to the body.
Right.
And it just like it there's something animal. There's something like your senses go haywire when you see something like that. It's like that's just wrong.
Taking a drink of water and it turns out to be Sprite. You're just not expecting
that. Right. There's nothing wrong with Sprite. It's just like you're expecting water. It's like, boom, what the hell is that? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's all I had. That's
okay.
All.
No worries.
Oh. I think we over-talked it.